I want to think a bit about how Israel was so stiff-necked. Now, the metaphor of being stiff-necked means that you refuse to allow the yoke that God wishes to put on you to come on you. You do not want to humble yourself, to bow down your neck in humility and in getting on with his service and his way. And in Exodus 32 and 33, God warns them that because you are stiff-necked, I don't think it's a good idea that my angel, my presence, goes amongst you. Because you're so stiff-necked, I may destroy you. And Moses begs that, although we're stiff-necked, please may your presence go with us. And God apparently agrees. Now, because of that, that's in Exodus 34, he says the same, although God said he would not go in the midst of a stiff-necked people, Moses asks him to, and he agrees. Well, at the end of his life, in Deuteronomy 31, Moses says to them, I know your rebellion and your stiff neck. Even while I'm alive with you this day, you've been rebellious against Yahweh, and how much more will you be after I'm dead? And yet, despite that, despite being stiff-necked, being the reason why they could not have fellowship with God, God still saves a stiff-necked people. And Deuteronomy 9 is very clear about that. They're told that they're going to be given the kingdom not for your righteousness or the uprightness of your heart. And you must therefore understand, this is Deuteronomy 9:6, that the Lord your God does not give you this good land to possess it for your righteousness, because you are a stiff-necked people. And remember this, and do not forget how you provoke the Lord your God to wrath in the wilderness. So then, you almost get the impression that God is seeking to push forward his purpose of saving Israel, despite them not meeting the conditions. Now, you've got to be careful with this, because you can't say that, well, therefore, yeah, God's love, he's going to save you, don't worry about what he says. The fact that his wrath is provoked, as we just read in Deuteronomy 9, he's going to save you, although you're a stiff-necked people, but remember and never forget how you provoke the Lord your God to wrath. God has wrath, and he is provoked by human behavior. Therefore, the fact that he saves people who do not meet all his conditions is all the more remarkable. It's all the more awesome. If he was just a sort of a kindly old person whose bark is worse than his bite and doesn't really care anything really about how people behave, but because you're his favorite grandkids kind of thing, he's going to give you the candy anyway, whether you do what he says or respect him or whatever. No, God is not like that. That would be a mistaken view of God. The fact that he is so sensitive to sin, he has wrath which is provoked by human behavior, means that therefore the fact he saves the stiff-necked, as he did with Israel in this case, is all the more an indication of how within God there are these poles, the pole of his judgment and the pole of his grace, and those two are presented as in conflict, and it is the pole of his grace that wins out, but not sort of automatically, not as a foregone conclusion. Remember, God has judged people terribly, and he will do so. So it's not a foregone conclusion at all, but we do see that, you see it in Hosea, when God talks about how my repentings, the AV says, my changes of mind are kindled together within me. Wonderful idea. An incredible window into his mind that he thinks this way to judge, to destroy, and then he thinks that way to save by grace. And this is a conflict within him. Now, we are made in the image of God, and we do know something of that, because we have all had those conflicts within us. Anyone who's had children will have had those conflicts. And this is how God is. As I say, we are made in his image. Now, the fact that finally, when all is said and done, the pole of his grace and love wins out. Over the pole, shall we say, of necessary judgment. I think has huge implications for us. That is how we probably are with our own kids or grandkids. And yet this is how we've got to be really in life. And you can fall into a terrible danger of literalism, of saying that, look, God says this and that this is a condition of that. Yes, God does say that, and that is a condition of that. And God's word is serious, and God is serious. But the whole point is that his grace is above that literalism. It's like he says about marriage in Deuteronomy 24, that if a man divorces his wife, it is an abomination if he remarries her, because she is defiled if she's gone off with someone else and he remarries her. That's what it says. And yet when you come to the prophets, Jeremiah, Hosea particularly, you see God saying, look, we're divorced, but return to me and let's remarry. Even though he has said in his own law that this is an abomination. Now, I don't think that we are free to just mess around with God's law as we think best. But all the same, we are looking here at a God who has an absolute passion to save us. And you see it, as I say, historically exemplified in how he dealt with Israel. If you're stiff-necked, I shall not go with you. They were stiff-necked, and he went with them, and he saved them. And one of the factors in that, I think, was the way that Moses in Exodus 32, 33, 34 has begged God to still go with them, although they are stiff-necked. And that going with, that presence with them, was more than just a presence, the glory walking amongst them, as it were. I think the idea of the presence of God was ultimately his saving presence, that he would save them, bring them through the journey, and give them the land. Now, of course, many died. Many in that generation died. We know that, because in their hearts they turned back to Egypt. But overall, his purpose will come true to save us. We who want to be saved, we whose problem is that we're simply weak, not that we don't want to be saved, it's just that we're weak. I say just. The issue is that we are weak. And God will save us, because this is what his name means, I will be. And when he reveals that name to Moses, seven times he says, I will save you out of Egypt. I will give you the land. This is his intention. And of course, it comes to its ultimate term in Yahoshua, Yahweh saves, in Greek, Jesus.